My name is Nellie Jones. My maiden name was Wrigglesworth. I was born in 1921. My mother and father, they were both Carlton people. My dad worked at Pitt all his life. And my mother used to work, she had an auntie and uncle that had a fish shop in Carlton. And she used to work for them, helping them. During the war, she was on munitions at Brames down at Unslet. Nellie Wrigglesworth was my mother, and Arthur Wrigglesworth was my father.
How did Arthur come to be in Carlton? Had he always lived there?
No, they were born there, both of them. They lived quite near to each other. My mother lived up at what they call Lord Nelson Yard, and my father lived in Main Street.
And your dad's dad, what did he do?
I think he was a miner, and they called him Richard, but he always went in Dick Wrigglesworth.
So, 1921, you were born, you were an only child.
Yes.
Can you remember very much about your dad's routine in those days? Where did he work when you were a child? And can you remember him going off to work and coming back again?
Yes, he's always worked in collieries. I think he's worked at other pit besides Walter Haig, but I can't remember which. There was one down there called Rose, and then there was Fanny Nelson, that one at Stanley.
And what's your earliest memory of him going to work then?
He used to go on a bus or on a bike. He used to cycle.
Do you remember him coming home from work? And how did he get cleaned up after being down the pit?
Well, he used to get washed at home.
And did he have a big bath in the front of the fire? Or
well, that were all we had, yeah. He used to have to put a set pot on and get hot water that way.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
Tell me what happened at Walter Haig with your dad.
Well, he went to work, and I think he was at afternoon shift, and there were some people that lived opposite, and that man, called him Joe Dacre, he was on opposite shift to my dad, and when he came home, I think it was about 8 o'clock at night, and he told his wife that Arthur had had an accident. He says, and just as I will come and finish him work, he says, they were just bringing him out at pit, and she came across and told my mother. And then my uncle came, I think it was my uncle Ernest, and said like he'd had an accident and it had taken him to Leeds Infirmary.
How old would you be
and
at that time?
I was 13, and my grandma just lived up a yard opposite, we lived at Main Street, and she came across, and my mother went to infirmary, and she stayed with me all night, did my grandma. My mother come up next morning.
Can you remember what your mother's reaction was when she was told the news?
Well, she was upset because she wanted to go, like, and see what had happened. And seemingly, we were working down pit, and there was a fall of what they call muck coming down, and he would have been buried. And he was stepping out away of that, and this coal-cutting machine caught his trouser leg and pulled his leg into the machine, which should have had a cage on, a guard. And the chap that were responsible, they found him 10 shillings. And my dad's leg were fast, and they couldn't get a local doctor because it was on a Thursday, and nearly all of them used to have Thursday evening off. And they got this doctor from Methley called Dr. Dennis, and he was ready to go to the theatre with his wife. But they both went to Woodlesford Colliery, and they wouldn't let her go down the mine, but he went down, and he gave him a local anaesthetic, and they amputated his leg below the knee to get him out.
So they actually amputated underground?
Yes, and Billy Williams was down there, and he said, my dad was here, or he said, this is what they told us, I mean, what we heard from other people. And he said he was a hero, and he said he was talking about cricket all the time they were doing, taking his leg off. And they said that they took it in a sack, what they'd taken off, to Leeds Infirmary. And then they had to amputate above the knee then at Leeds Infirmary.
So he had another operation?
Operation, yes. And I know when my mum come home, they took me next day to see him, but nurses, were them in charge at ward, they said I was too young to go in at state he was in, and they said it depended what effect it would have on my dad when he saw me. And I remember my mum saying they had like under a tunnel with electric bulbs, and that would draw the shock away, you know.
Did he know when he was underground, when the accident first happened, that they were cutting his leg off?
Oh, yes, he knew what was going on, yeah.
Did you talk to him when you went to the hospital?
Oh, yes, when I was allowed in. But that day they wouldn't let me go in, but I was able to go in after, you know, to visit him. The day before, he'd nearly been buried the day before with a fall, and I think it's some grazing on him when he come home. And when he were going to work, my mother said, it were afternoon shift, and my mother says to him, be careful. And his last words were, what has to be will be. And that's what happened. And now they got to know at press, and Evening News at Evening Post, they came to our house at Carlton, and my mother's still at infirmary, and I was my grandma, and they said, they got to know the story of my dad's accident, and they asked if I had a photograph. And I gave them the first one I saw, and my mother was surprised when she saw the paper. She says, oh, I was giving them this photo. I said, well, somebody came from, I think it was Evening News, and it was a photo of my dad when he was young, and my mother and me, a baby on a knee, and they just took my dad's head and shoulders off that photograph and put it in paper.
What happened after that? How long was he off work for?
Well, I don't know. As I say, I was 16 when we moved to Woodlesford, so probably 3 years from it happening.
So it took him 3 years to get over it, really.
And they offered him £200 compensation. And my dad says, talk about 2,000, then I'll listen to you. And man said to him, this is what, you know, they told me, like my mum and that. He said, I'm talking to you like a father talking to his son. So my dad says, you're talking to me like you paid to talk to me. He says, talk about, he says, I want a job. And all they give him were this lamp room attendant, cleaning lamps. And when Colliers went for the lamps, they handed the disc in, he give them the lamp. And he was working on his crutches and hopping about. And that were all they offered him. They couldn't give him a sitting down job.
So you're saying that what they wanted to do was, with this compensation, they just wanted to pay him off.
And no job. Yeah, yes, if he'd have took that, he wouldn't have had a job. I mean, he was only 36.
He was 36 when he had the accident.
When he had the accident, yeah.
So he took a lesser amount of compensation, but with a guarantee of job.
He didn't get any compensation.
He didn't get a penny.
No, nothing, because he refused that to 200.
Was there some kind of inquiry afterwards, do you know?
No. And all that he got, I don't know what you called it then, you know, sick pay or whatever it was 21 and eightpence a week. That were all he got. And then my mum had to go to what they call town pay, where they used to see into your income and that and allow you so much, you know. And, I mean, I wasn't working. I was only 13. And that was all we had.
It must have been pretty tough times then.
It was,
in that 3 years.
Very hard, yeah.
And you say that because he stuck it out, they then said that they'd give him a job in the lamp room.
In the lamp room.
And you got a house to go with it in Woodlesford. Is that what happened?
No, we paid rent for the house. And I would come to get that house. He had a cousin and he worked at Pitt. And he was going to get married. And they got the house with it being a collier house. And he worked at Pitt, you see. But his wife had an accident and she got killed. So, because he didn't want a house then, he was staying at home with his parents. So my dad, he was his cousin, like, my dad knew about this house coming vacant, so he asked if he could have it. But he used to pay rent for it. He didn't come in with a job.
But when he went back to work then, he was on crutches and he'd had one of his legs amputated above his knee.
Yeah.
How did he get to and from work?
Well, he used to walk up Fleet Lane from where we lived. And bad weather, We didn't know what was happening to him. I mean, my mother and me, we've walked many a time when it's been bad weather up Fleet Lane and seen, make sure he wasn't down. And one incident, I mean, there weren't traffic up roads that there is now, but when he got to the bottom of Fleet Lane, he threw his crutches across the road because it was so slippy, and he shuffled across on his bottom. And there was a fella and he used to drive pit ambulance and wagon. We called him Jimmy Ellis. And he was very good to me dad. He used to say sometimes, "I'll take you home." And one day one of the bosses saw him and he says, "Well, where are you going with wagon?" He says, "I'm taking Arthur home." And he wouldn't let him.
Even though he didn't... He only had one.
Wouldn't let him bring him home, no. He was quite very shabby. He was.
So did he end up getting an artificial leg?
Yes, the wooden one. Not like they get today, you know, these light ones where they can move about easy with them. That was punishment for my dad.
He didn't like it?
No.
What, it was too heavy?
It was too heavy, and it used to make him sore. And going on crutches used to make him sore, you know. You used to have to wrap, because it was wood. You used to have to wrap round with, well, soft, you know, to sort of pat it.
So even though he got this wooden leg, he still went about on crutches then?
Yeah,
to work.
Yes, he couldn't wear his leg at all.
When you were taking him to the pit, did you actually go in the pit yourself?
Into the pit yard, yes, yes, we walked in there. And then I went in and during war, there was a telephone in and you're not supposed to touch it and I didn't know. And I says, "Oh, there's a phone here." And my dad says, "Oh, you shouldn't have done that." And then somebody rung or something and it to make an excuse like, but it was me, I'd touched it.
So you went into the place where he worked then?
Yeah.
And what was that called again?
Lamp probe.
And what went on in there? What happened in there?
That's where they issued lamps. The miners used to queue up for the lamps and queue up to hand them in when they come out at pit. My dad used to clean them and service them. And they had like a disc, a bit bigger than a penny with a number on. And they used to hand that in and then they knew their lamp had been handed in and get the lamps when they needed them. It was just called lamp room.
And did you spend much time in there with him?
Oh, no, no. He used to just go and then come home, you know, see him home. And
did he work shifts like the other miners?
Yeah.
Or did he just work on
no,
days?
No, he worked shifts. I think they could have done more for him.
How long did he stay at Waterhegg for then?
Well, he was 53 when he died. Yeah, 53. He died in 50.
So it's about 17 years then. That he kept going after he'd had the accident?
Well, he was taken poorly and we didn't know what was wrong with him. We thought it was his stomach, but he had throat cancer. So he was off work a while with that, like, and then that's what he died with.
Did he talk much about life at the pit to you after the accident?
Well, no, not a lot. It was just a general thing, like among everybody, because they were all miners. I mean, his brothers were all miners, and my mother's brothers were miners, and cousins were all brought up working at pit.
And did he have, like, any hobbies before the accident that he couldn't keep doing afterwards, or what?
Not as such, you know. He was interested in football and cricket and that, but he only went to local matches. He didn't go away, you know.
Was he a boozer?
No. He liked to smoke. Yeah. No, he wasn't a boozer, but he liked his cigarettes.
Woodbines or players?
Woodbines. My mother used to buy him so many a week. And he used to say, "Have any more cigs left?" She would say, "No, you've not now until we get his money, you know, weekend like." And she used to ration him, put him so many out a day, you know, happened. Two or three, he didn't smoke a lot because she couldn't afford to buy a lot.
And did he hand over all his wages to your mum?
Yes, he did, yeah.
Kept a bit for him, for pocket money, I suppose.
Well, I don't think he could afford to have any pocket money, really. My mother took charge.
What was it like living in Woodlesford in those days, generally speaking?
Well, we didn't like it. My mother didn't like it. We were so used to Carlton, you see. We were born and bred there and... We were like a little community on our own. And when my mother went to... Well, my mother never saw a house. because it come up all at once, you see, when this woman died and my dad got house, and because it was all cleaned, ready to go. They'd done it themselves, you see, ready for themselves. So my mum had to pack, so she never saw it. And then when we got down there and she saw it, she says, "I shall never like here." I says, "Why?" So she says, "I shan't." She says, "I shan't settle here." And she didn't. And I didn't like it.
Was it like a little pokey little house down?
Yeah.
It's a very, really old,
it was,
stone-built house.
Yes, yeah. And it used to rain in at bedroom. We used to have to have a bath at foot at bed to catch rain when it was raining heavy. And we'd dry toilets and we'd to walk down where Albert Roberts lived to use them.
And how many bedrooms did you have?
Two.
Yeah, two bedrooms, two upstairs and two downstairs.
Yeah, and you had to walk through one bedroom to get to other.
And did you have running water?
Yes, and coal, we used to keep that under stairs. Used to throw coal in there.
You got free coal, didn't you? You had it delivered, is that right?
Yes, and then there was a load due after my dad died, and one man, I think he was a union man, and he asked about my dad getting this last load of coal, but he couldn't have it. We couldn't have it because he'd died, and it was due. You got it every so long, but we couldn't have it.
And did your mum get a pension then afterwards?
No, there was no such thing as pension.